what an effort that is. A wonderful goal for Titus.
Martin Albion are promoted to the Championship.
Middlesbrough's Premier League exile is over.
Any managers, hit me up on the WhatsApp.
Hello and welcome to the 72 show. I'm your host Anthony Kendrick, and as ever I'm joined by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And joining us as our guest this week, we've got Shane Lees.
Hi guys.
You both well?
Yeah.
Fantastic. It's good to be back.
All right. Well, we'll start with Crawley Town. I know they're your local club, Shane. So we'll discuss them as our club this week. We'll start there. So they've had an interesting start to the season. They've been done decent. They're in 11th place at the moment, 14 points. I know at the start of the season they were one of the favourites to go down to the conference. So I guess it's been a decent start for them.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. I mean, if it was highlighting anything, it's been the inconsistent form. So they've been, you know, they've been winning some of it. They got Morecambe, I think they got away.
Yeah,
they lost. Yeah, 3-2, very good game. And then they lost to Stevenage, what was it, 2 weeks before?
Mm-hmm.
And that was away. And then they beat Luton between that. And then they got battered by Portsmouth even before that. So it's been fairly inconsistent. But compared to what they were, you know, most people were saying this side's going to go down. They were saying it's not a good side and it isn't a good side. So what they're doing at the moment, if they maintain this form over the season, that's going to put them with a chance of being in the playoff places.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite an achievement for a club that is not in any kind of real good way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know on the first day of the season, I was told by another Crawley fan off the forum that they were top of the league at one point in like the as it stands table because they went 1-0 up. But no, it's been, as you say, the last 2 weeks, it's been really good. I guess Luton were top of the league, and I think they beat them at that point. And then, obviously, beating Morecambe 3-2. I know. Last season as well, it's quite interesting, because they brought in the new owner, didn't they? He seems to be a decent guy, I think, from what I've read.
Well, it's better than the situation before. Before, it was just too much inconsistency, too much intervention from the board. It wasn't enough just to do with the football on the pitch. When you're at that level, that's what it's got to be about. Everything's got to be focused on that. There was too much political stuff going on in the background. You could tell they weren't actually focused on the football. And then that was affecting the players on the pitch. That was affecting the management, which was just always chopping and changing. So it's good to see that they're trying to get a bit more stability behind the scenes, focus more on the football. But in terms of if there's ever going to be a possibility that they might compete for, you know, going up, I'd say you're still looking at a few more seasons to actually, you know, grow in the transfer window.
Mm-hmm. They've been pretty active in the transfer window, though. In the summer, I should say. They brought in like 20 new players, but basically it's a whole new squad or thereabouts.
Well, that's what I mean. There's a lot of settling down to do with the club. They've started well. I mean, when you buy that many players in and it doesn't go well immediately, things are going to go terribly over the course of the season. So they've had a bit of a gelling. They've done decently, and I think that's all they really need to do. If they finish this year, mid-table, that'll be good. That'll be about par of the course, because then they can actually build on that. The next transfer window, they don't have to bring in 20 players. They can bring 4 or 5. They sell a few of the other ones, and then they can slowly build a squad into something that could potentially go up one day.
Yeah. Just one other thing I've been asked to mention by the Crawley fan on the forum. Aliou Kadijalo, he used to be a Chelsea central midfielder who's come in. He said he's the League Two equivalent of N'Golo Kante. Plays in centre mid. He's 24 years old, and from what I've done a bit of reading around, from what I've read, he covers a lot of ground. So yeah, I've been asked to bring him up. Nick, have you got any thoughts on Crawley?
So they were one of the favourites to go down at the start of the season, and I think when you bring in a lot of players, I mean, you don't really expect to be promoted when if you're changing. I think they brought in about 19 players or something.
Yeah.
You always know that needs time to gel and you can get off to a slow start. But I think they've got to a good, say, 14 points in the league. I don't think any fan will be upset about that. And I think they've recruited well. They've just signed Dean Cox as well, which I think is a great signing. I know he's not going to be able to play there until January, but I think they're finally loaning him out to Burgess Hill and Town to get him some minutes. I think he'll be a very, very big boost to them as well, especially in January. When he'll come with about at least 10 assists this season, and he'll get goals as well. But no, I think so they're off to a good start. I think as Shane's touched on it, they just need a bit of consistency, and I think they'll be right up there, I think, at the end of the season. One player that also I really rate is they've got their James Collins, proven goal scorer at that level. Mm-hmm. I think they certainly missed that sort of since Matt Tubbs has left. They haven't really had a striker that can score week in, week out. I know especially up front, they've always sort of got players in on loan and stuff who have done well, but they haven't really had that sort of permanent striker to score goals since Matt Tubbs. So I think he'll be a big player for them this season, James Collins. Say so he's got goals wherever he's gone, Northampton, Shrewsbury. But no, I think they're in a good way than they have been over the last sort of couple of seasons. They've got a chairman who seems to be at this sort of level, not like they haven't got an owner who was just going to throw money at it. He's sort of got the right sort of balance to this level. He's very well spoken to the fans and everything. It's not like they've seen before Crawley where the owners now haven't even revealed themselves. They've just sort of thrown money at it. So there was no concern, but he does seem like he's got his head screwed on, and so he's got his he sort of seems the right fit for this level, if that sort of makes sense.
Yeah.
So no, they should have some good times ahead, and I think they'll do it at a very sturdy pace as well, not like they did it when they got right from the conference where they were sort of throwing money before they could before they were set up. They seem to be set up now as a good football league club, and it'll be best of them.
Just one final question on Crawley. Could you see them long term, maybe being a championship side or something?
Well, being at Burton Albion only last week, and I've said about Burton how fantastic their eyes have been. They've been very well run. If you're well run, then why not? I mean, Burton, as I say, their ground is certainly no bigger than Crawley's, and they're in the championship, and I think Burton will stay up. So I think Burton can be that sort of that stick that any club, a bit like Crawley, any club in League Two, really. Not just Crawley. I mean, anyone. I think Burton have proven that any club can do it and do well. We've seen Yeovil as well over the last few years. Now Yeovil's it's gone a bit wrong since they got promoted. And there's some other stuff there, but I think Burton can be the example for a lot of clubs like Crawley to follow.
I think you sort of touched on it. Bad ownership at that level can kill a club, but good ownership, or at least decent ownership, can provide you a platform to build it if you then get the right coaches in, the right managers in. And I think with Crawley, they've got, it's a town with a good population. It's a town that is kind of on the up a little bit at the moment, if you know anything about the local area. And because there's not so much around it, the only people who are there are supporting London clubs, or maybe they're going down to Brighton. If that club can grow, there's a fan base there to go and get it, and to go and fill out that stadium every week. I know they're not doing that at the moment, but if that club grows, if they get into League One, then it'll look like they do something in League One, they could grow very organically, and it wouldn't be, as you said, just throwing money at them.
Yeah, and I think over the years it certainly has got bigger, their fan base. And I think obviously I know in League One they were one of the worst support clubs. I think that's a sign of they're not sort of ready for this level yet. That was going back to me saying throw money at it before they could grow. But now I think they can have a few seasons in League Two that allow the fan base to get in. They'll see people be impressed with the way the club's been run. They've got an owner who sort of feels passionate about the football club, and that'll get people in, that'll get money into the gates, and I think that'll if everyone's pulling together, then the club will pull together, and so there's no reason why they can't go on and do it at Burton Albion. But I think the support base, that is obviously one thing you always want to have going for you, and if they can get that going, then sort of sky's the limit, really.
Alright, well, we'll move on to the Championship then. I think the biggest story was Bristol City beating Fulham 4-0. Fantastic result. And Fulham, from Fulham's point of view, they've really dropped down the table after a strong start. They've only won one game in their last seven, and they were second in the league behind Huddersfield.
I think their start was false, to be honest with you. I said at the start of the season Fulham were going to struggle.
You did.
But fair play to them. They did go up to a great start, and fantastic win over Newcastle, and they played very well. I still think though over this then I think with the course of the losing Dan and Bellet and McCormack, two players they didn't have them last season, they wouldn't have had a cat in hell's chance of starting up.
Mm-hmm.
Losing them two was a massive blow, and they haven't really been replaced. I know Aluko's a pretty good signing, but I don't think they're going to be anywhere near the playoffs to be honest this season. I think there's still a lot of rebuilding to go. They've got, but they've got a good start, though. They've got a great manager there, so if they can keep hold of him for a while, I think, and slowly build it around, I think they can get back up into the Premier League eventually. But I think this season, I think it's consolidation, I think. And as you say, yeah, 4-0 drubbing into Bristol City, who aren't any mugs, by the way. They obviously got the hot shot Tammy Abraham at the moment, who's banging form. So there's no disrespect to Bristol City, but I think if you're a Fulham fan and you lose 4-0 at home to Bristol City, you would be certainly obviously disappointed and peed off. But I think I think you have to open the door of realisticness. I mean, it's what it is, and we're probably going to have a few of those results this season, and it's going to be a tough season, but one that we've probably had to say consolidate.
Well, yeah, I think you have to say with Fulham, whenever you see clubs go up and do well in the Championship, or even in League One, there's always a sense of spirit on the outside. There's always a bit of positivity. The fans are kind of a bit excited about the season, and Fulham have absolutely no positivity to do that. Mm. There's no real spirit around that club. There hasn't been since they went down. Even a bit before that, with the things of the owners and all that. Now, you look at Brighton, they've started well again this season. And even after the disappointment last season, there was still massive positivity about the club. It was a club on the up. Even Reading has been that sort of growth in positivity, slowly but surely. Yes, there's been the negative sides, but you can sort of see why they're doing well, even if they don't necessarily have the players. Birmingham, same situation. They built last season. They improved, and that positivity has been carried forward. Even Huddersfield, Norwich, they didn't go down and say, "This is so bloody miserable." They said, "Okay, we can do this again." And I think you're starting to see that again. The clubs that don't have that positivity, they get stuck in that rut. It happened to Leeds and Blackburn for years and years. They were just so negative, off the pitch and on the pitch, and they just built it into them. Fulham, they need to find a way to break that cycle if they're ever going to have a chance of going up again.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I will come on to Blackburn, but I just want to go on the other side of it, Bristol City. And I know Nick mentioned it, Tammy Abraham, who's top scorer in the Championship. He's on loan from Chelsea. He's 18 years old. He looks a quality player. Whether he ever gets a chance at Chelsea is another question, but at this level, he's really proving himself.
Well, you said there, if he ever gets a chance at Chelsea, history proves he won't. There's been loads of good Chelsea players who have been loaned out in this division. Paddy Bamford obviously springs to mind straight away.
Yeah.
And where is he at now? Burnley on loan. So it proves obviously history goes against Tammy that he probably won't get a chance at Chelsea. There's probably loads of Nathaniel Shanabur. He had loads of spells in the Championship online. I think he actually did come on for Chelsea the other day or played in a cup game. I don't know. But I think you'd like to say that if he does do well this year, Chelsea might give him a look next season. But say history's certainly against him.
I think he's kind of lucky in the sense of, you look at the players like Bamford, they peaked quite late. Like, he was what, 22 when he had his really good season in the Championship, Bamford?
With Middlesbrough, weren't they?
Yeah, this guy, he's 18. If Chelsea get offers next year, if he goes on and he bangs in 25 goals in this season, and they get offers for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 million, somewhere between, you know, 10 million, reasonable, Chelsea will take that. Mm. This is a club that is willing to sell its younger players these days. You know, you look at it, the likes of De Bruyne and Lukaku, if they're willing to sell these kinds of players, they're going to be willing to sell Tammy Abraham. There just needs to be a club that comes into him, and he needs to be willing to accept that if you're a young player at Chelsea, unless you're Kurt Zouma. It's not going to happen. One player in 100, literally 100, you look at the amount of young players they've got, is going to have that chance. If he gets an offer next year, which I think there will definitely be clubs who are interested in signing on a permanent transfer, he has to take it. Otherwise, he will just waste away like all the others.
I guess it's just a shame from Chelsea's point of view that they don't have the sense to put buyback clauses in like Real Madrid and Barcelona do on their players. Another Chelsea player, though, springs to mind, Lucas Piazon, who I know he came out and said he was sick of going out on loan and he wants to sign for a club permanently. He's on loan at Fulham this season.
Well, the problem they have, Chelsea, with these young players, is the young players sometimes do get to that point quite early where they go, "I want to move away," but they're on £40,000 a week. Because Chelsea pay these young players ridiculous money. Now, they might be willing to drop down a little bit, but if your standard of living is £40,000 a week, maybe what, you cut that down by half? Maybe £20,000 a week?
Yeah.
Even for a player of that age in a Championship, that's ridiculous money. I think the average wage in the Championship is still around, what? Maybe the average wage in the Premiership is about £35,000. So £20,000 for a 19-year-old player, or, you know, 20-year-old, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And so that's where they're really coming to the problem. And Chelsea are still a club that are being run for profit, so they don't want to just sell them for 400k. They have to run down their contracts. It's a really real option.
No. Well, moving on from Chelsea, we'll mention Blackburn. They've had a bad start to the season under Owen Coyle. But they got a win over Derby, who are having an even worse start to the season than Blackburn. So, yeah, 2-1 win for Blackburn.
Well, not about that. I mean, I've tried obviously to be as rude as possible on this, but I mean, when that second goal went in, it's happened. Everyone started cracking up in a pub. I think it's just with Derby. I mean, they were one of the favourites to go up this year. I mean, the money they've spent is ridiculous.
It is.
The amount of strikers they've got at their expense is incredible. Nigel Pearson, who's obviously a fantastic manager, but he's just not cutting right for them.
I can't make sense of Derby, because they have really good players.
Losing to Blackburn must be just an all-time low, really. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, I can't make sense of it. They've got good players, really good players, better players than maybe you could have in the Championship. They get consistently good managers. I don't understand what keeps going wrong at that club. Because it's not even like you can say, oh, it's off the pitch, it's the owners. Yeah, they're not great, but you can have far, far worse. But it's always on the pitch where the problems happen. I don't understand what keeps going wrong.
No, it's a mental thing, I think. The players on the big occasion, there's just something not right there. And, well, this season, there's just been not enough goals. I mean, we've scored 2 goals in 2 weeks, and that's an achievement. It's been 3 goals all season, and it's a joke, really. It's just, yeah. Currently in the relegation zone. Maybe we're more likely to be playing in League One than the Premier League next year at this rate.
I think there's still a lot. I mean, there are a long way off, and they need to change it around soon. And you've got Bruce Pearson. I mean, results aren't going the way, but he's got a proven record. But if it's not going right, then it's not going right. But I just find with Derby, I mean, I think it was touched last season. I mean, I think when Paul Robinson, the Birmingham player, was on the Channel 5 show, he said he's never played against a team that doesn't play as a team, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think they're almost a bit like a Championship's version of Tottenham. In the heyday, in a sense of there's a lot of money in that squad, and you think, oh, they play some fancy football sometimes, but then every single team wants to play against them every single week because they know they can kick them off the park if they have to.
Yeah,
and they know they have no real spine. If you put them under any kind of pressure, they'll just collapse mentally. They are the Championship's Tottenham, only with far less success.
Nigel Pearson said. Nigel Pearson said the exact same thing. I've got his exact word. He said that the team was just paralysed by fear against Blackburn.
It's
not a
good thing, though,
is it? Blackburn.
No.
Blackburn have been the worst team in this league, and it's if you really want to get promoted, we can look at Derby, we can sort of sneer Derby all day long, and I'm trying to work out what the problem is going there, but I think we also need to give some credit to Owen Coyle. Big win last week against Rotherham, and there's still a lot of work to be done, but they had another one against Derby, and it's looking like they've sort of turned a corner somewhat, and obviously not certain. They're blowing Blackburn know that it's going to be a struggle this season. I think survival is going to be their aim, but I mean, back-to-back wins, and I think they're on sort of slowly on the up again, Blackburn, and full credit to Owen Coyle, and he was under an incredible amount of pressure. People sort of laughing, saying, "Why on earth he got the job for it?" But he's proven to everyone, proven to himself that he's still a decent manager. And so back to back wins, still a lot of work to go at the club. But as I say, they're moving on. But if I say with Derby, I think their problems are it's just obviously down to Pearson to get it sorted out, but. I mean, I wouldn't be too impressed if I was Derby. That's another thing, actually. So, Derby said when he played them, I didn't go to the game, but when we played them on the opening day, it was 0-0. But I was reading reports of the match that it was very strange. Like, I mean, apparently a Derby player would give the ball away, and the whole crowd would be up in arms, like screaming and shit, sort of getting really restless, very restless, very easily, Derby fans. So I don't know whether that doesn't help the players or what. But
like I said, it's a bit like Tottenham, isn't it? Do you remember Pochettino in his first days? The Tottenham fans wanted him out. Just immediately, they just took a disliking to him.
They did, didn't they? Yeah.
Everyone gets that. And it's almost a similar case with Derby, because if a manager doesn't start off amazingly, the fans hate him.
Yeah.
And it's just a deep reaction, you can't shake it. And because the fans are on their backs, and the players don't have that kind of mentality, even with a manager like Pearson, he can kick the shit out of you if he really wants to. It's so hard to then pick up from there. The fans are their own worst enemies sometimes. It's true in so many clubs. And with Derby, I think it is especially true, because if you have players who don't have the stomach for a proper fight, and you're getting on their backs as well, it's a recipe for disaster.
I know it sounds like I'm just being biased, but I genuinely do feel Derby's got one of the best fan bases in terms of the most vocal fan base, especially on away games, which I've been to. There's usually a lot of numbers, and they are very vocal and do get on the players' backs, as you say, very quickly. It's just, I don't know, maybe it's me being biased, or I don't know how.
Derby have always been also the best, but I'd say that they are very well supported and they're very vocal. It's just not going right there, whether it's down to a lack of leaders. And I think reading Vandenbergo, or as we've had on the show before, his column in the paper about it, that was done with the Football League paper. I couldn't even hit the nail on the head. They haven't got any leaders, especially in the middle part. Talking like a Joe Barton or anyone really. They've really got too many leaders, and they've just made a few odd transfers over them. Nick Blackmon from Reading, I think he hasn't done anything since he signed for Derby, but even at Reading, I think that was his first ever good season. He's been around for a bit. I think he scored, he was at 8 goals by Christmas in the Derby and splashed 4 million.
Yeah. It'd be nice if Joe Barton doesn't go back to Rangers. But another leader who's been training with the club, Sol Bamba, who was the Leeds captain. He left for personal reasons. I don't really know anything more than that, but he's now training with Derby.
He's awful.
Yeah, that's what you need, a Leeds reject of all of them. Maybe a Leeds reject 20 years ago.
I've never got the fuss about him. He's literally awful.
All right, we'll move on to Brighton to cheer Nick up. Won the last three games. They're up to third now. So it's been good after a shaky start to the season.
Yeah, well, you say shaky, but was it? We had a couple of defeats. We've lost 2 games this season.
Oh, okay.
So in the league, I don't really think that's shaky, to be honest. We didn't play well for 3 games in a row. Reading, Newcastle and Brentford. And yeah, against Brentford it was very poor, and we weren't used to losing at home. I mean, it's pretty what it was, we weren't losing. I think after the Brentford game, I think after it sunk in a bit, we were like, well, it's a bit of realisticness. We've been very good and we've punched above our weight a bit. But I think also Duffy settled in now well, and him and Duncan have kept a lot of clean sheets, and he's looking like money well spent, in all fairness. So I was very, it'll probably come back to bite me about him being a very poor signing, but he's looking very good. I mean, I didn't actually go to the game on Saturday, but reading reports and hearing back feedback from people, him and Dunk look very, very good together again. And Dunk really has come along. Last season I was a big fan of him. And I was sort of pulling my hair out of why we didn't accept $5 million for him or whatever. But he looks fast this season, Dunk. I mean, I would guys might have to say, what does Cahill offer better than Dunk doesn't thing for England? As far as that, I mean, I don't see the big difference in the class there, except from Dunk doesn't pass balls back loosely to us, I suppose. Also Glenn Murray, another couple for him, and he hasn't hit the heights. I mean, he hit in the first few games, but apparently he was different class on Saturday, and as was Knockhart. And so I'd admire any fear for the season is if Knockhart gets injured, that can't stress how much of a blow that will be in us going forward. I think he's the best player, and probably one of the best, if not the best player in the Championship, Knockhart. And I just do worry if he ever gets injured, then that could kill a team pretty badly.
I probably wouldn't go as far as Nick does in praise for Ryan, but I do think they are one of the best sides in the Championship this year, mainly because I can't see that many other sides who have got the balance that Brighton have got. They got a good manager, they got good owners, they got good fans. Around the pitch, they're strong in every single area, as far as I'm concerned. They're good on the wings, they're good up front, they got a good pair of centre-backs, good pair of full-backs, good midfielders. They've got nice balance. Now, you'd look at teams like Newcastle, Villa, Norwich, and you say, okay, they've got more star power. But I don't think they have the kind of mentality and the sort of fortitude that Brighton have. And that's something I never thought I'd say about Brighton, by the way. That was always a club that you'd sort of worry about, the player's mentality on the pitch. But because I think they had that you have a bad experience last year, losing out, what was it, Sheffield Wednesday, wasn't it? I think that's sort of made, that's given them the let's go again attitude. And they're giving it a really good go now. And I think if they can hold it together, and as Nick says, if they can stop the injuries from happening, they've got a great chance of going up automatically this year.
Mm. It's good that they've took it that way, because the other way you could look at it is that, you know, they've not gone up, and that disappointment, I guess going back to Derby is a good example, that disappointment can absolutely wreck a side the following season, and, you know, negative mentality, Fulham as well.
Yeah, no, but so the positive, I mean, once this disappointment of last season did sink in, of not getting promoted, I think people look back and like, what a effing season this was. I mean, after how crap we were the season before, under both Hippier and Hughes, in all fairness, we were awful that season. And we only stayed up, as I say it again, we only stayed up that season because Millwall, Blackpool and Wigan were worse than us. If they weren't worse than us, we were down, simple as. We were that bad that season. And we stayed up because there was simply somehow, God forbid, how the standard was in that league, there was three teams worse than us. But last season, as I say, yeah, Houghton over the summer, it was just a man on a mission. And last season, we were awesome. We had a fantastic season, and one that wasn't expected. We didn't get promoted. But no, I mean, we were that good last season. I think people were just amazed how good we were. And, the board made it clear that they weren't going to sell anyone, which they didn't. It caused a bit of trouble with Stevens, who seems to have got his head down though, and he had another great game on Saturday. But no, I mean, you say that the positivity is still there, as Shane said, and long may it continue. But we've got a very tough game tonight at Ipswich.
Uh-huh. I was going to come on to that. Huddersfield lost to Reading, so Norwich managed to get top of the league. Huddersfield have had a great start, I suppose, as well. They're the one, I know we mentioned on the previous show, but they've really surprised us this season overall.
Yep, and I think they'll be up there at the end of the season. I think people saying it's only a matter of time for them to fade away. I think when you're at the stage of the season, if you're anywhere up there, then I think you will be pretty near there at the end of the season. And I think they've got a manager who really knows what he's doing. David Wagner, I know Klopp speaks highly of him. Mm. And they've got some good players there. I mean, Huddersfield, I know they've had a defeat on Saturday, but it's a tough place to go, Reading. So I think they'll be right. I think they'll certainly get a top five finish, if not maybe a playoff spot. And I think their fans will like that. I really do. I think because you look at Huddersfield, no disrespect to Huddersfield, but over the last couple of years, you look at them and they're one of the teams you bank on getting 3 points at home, wherever you are, league. There won't be thought of that this season. They'll take a lot of points for teams, and teams will feel like it's a big result. And when we beat them one the other night, that was a massive result for us. Mm. So the guy won lifted, but no, they've got a good team there, and I think they'll have a good season this year.
I have to say, I do disagree slightly with Huddersfield. I don't think they'll have this, sudden death that a lot of fans are saying that they might go and have, but they might just sort of drop down the table and be in trouble. I think it will just be a very slow bleeding of points to the point where they finish maybe 10th and go, well, we had a good season.
Mm.
It's just, I think they'll trickle away just slowly but surely. And by the end of the year, people, because it won't have been a sudden thing, it'll almost have slipped people's minds a little bit that it did start so well. I don't think they've got a bad team at all, but I just think, you look at some of the clubs there, you've got the likes of Wolves, you've got the likes of Brentford, you've got the likes of Wednesday. I think they're all still to come good. And you've still got those other sides that are in there in the playoff places, and I wouldn't say they look like dropping off anytime soon. I think there's, of all of the sides, you'd say probably might end up dropping out slowly but surely. It's probably Huddersfield.
Mm. Sides coming good. I'll talk about Aston Villa, who played that one-all game, the TV game at the weekend, one-all with Newcastle. Villa have got 6 draws in 9 games. Di Matteo said after, they obviously need to start turning them draws into wins. But can you see them breaking into the playoffs? Because I can't.
No. They're crap. I'm sorry. You can go on about how many draws you're getting, and that's really good. But they're crap.
No,
can we see this Villa side going on a run, winning 9 games out of 10? No, of course we can't. They don't have any kind. We talked about spirit earlier. They have nothing like that. We talked about how bad Derby spirit is. I'm sorry, Aston Villa. But it's they've got probably better quality, but their heads are so wrong for professional footballers, especially for the Championship. They probably won't go down. I'd say they're at risk of it still, but they probably won't. They'll do nothing, though, and they'll probably end up doing what Fulham do, just lingering for a very long time.
I could see them, you say, getting 9 wins out of 10. I could see them getting 9 draws out of 10.
What will that do for them? You get 46 draws over the campaign, you'll just be slap bang in the middle, only just sort of maybe being a few points of relegation. It's crap.
It is. It was. I don't know if either of you watched the Aston Villa Newcastle game, but it was a bit of a dull game, I thought. One player who did sort of stand out for me for Villa, he looked the one spark, was Ayew, who I think deserves a move. He deserves another shot in the Premier League at a half decent side.
I think it was always clear that Villa had some quality. You look at what's his name, he's gone to Everton.
Idrissa Gueye,
yeah. They had some quality players in that team. But the problem is, when you have all those players together at one team and you've just got too many bad eggs, too many players who are, you know, bitching and gossiping in the changing rooms, they've got their little cliques and they're all whining about each other, they've not got that togetherness. That's when you've got a problem, because that's when, rather than the good players dragging the bad players forward, the bad players dragging good players down. It's like the complete reverse of what you had in the last few years of Sir Alex Ferguson's Man United, where a few good players and a good manager dragged all of those crap players forward, which immediately fell apart straight afterwards. It's the reverse situation of Villa. The bad ones, the bad eggs, are just dragging that entire club down. They need a proper clear-up if they're ever going to actually have a shot to go back up. I mean, proper sell-off of the just dross they have in that team.
Yeah.
Let's look at the other side then in that game. Newcastle, they're fifth in the league. They're doing all right. Still favourites to win the league or not? They're 4 points off the top.
Yeah, I think they're still favourites. I don't think if they don't win the league, I think it's an absolute embarrassment of the season, to be honest with you. With the side, the squad, the depth they've got there. I mean, anything other than first, in my opinion, isn't a good season, in my opinion. Obviously, well, I think yeah, if you come second, I suppose, then it's still. But they've got to be prepared to the end of the season with the results they've got and everything there. Still a point of it is actually a good result. I mean, draw your away games, win your home games. So I don't think their fans will be too peed off about that result.
It's been part of the course for Newcastle, but I think their question was never really in start, because they still had, as you say, very, very good players. They've still got massive financial backing, especially for the Championship. The question is going to be, 30 games into the season, when they're looking at their calendar, like 16 games left, how's their stamina going to be going? They have not done a Championship season for a while. A lot of those players, this is their first ever time doing a Championship season. It's a long season. Every game is a slog. That's me when questions start getting asked. If they're still up there around there, and they're still knocking out those results, as you say, wins at home, draws away, those kind of results, yeah, then they go and win the league. However, there's every chance that they are just going to get to that middle point of the season and just be too tired.
Didn't they get like 100 points a few years ago in the Championship?
Yeah, but so we bloody smashed in the Championship a few years ago. It's irrelevant.
No, I'm just wondering. I'm just thinking, you don't think there's any chance of that sort of thing happening this season?
No, the Championship's changed.
Just because Chris Hughton enjoyed.
And the Championship's so much more competitive these days. There's so many more good sides in the Championship. The whole English pyramid is getting better and better and better. And we're not talking about the top teams. We're talking about the middle teams. They're all improving. And so you've got the games. I mean, who would have thought Brentford would have been a hell of a game before? And yet they will give you a game. They'll give you a game home or away. This is the kind of thing Newcastle have to come up against. And whilst they can do it early on, it's the questions will be asked when they're starting to get into a real fight of the season. Because that's when the big clubs can start declining. That's when you could maybe see Villa, who will be probably, I'll say, lingering around the relegation zone. That's when they could be in trouble. And that's when Newcastle could end up dropping out of, you know, those top two spots, maybe into a playoffs, maybe even lower.
Mm-hmm.
Newcastle, they say this when they play, but they played pretty well. So, but yeah, I think they'll be fine.
All right, we'll move on to League One. I'll start with Coventry, who are currently rock bottom of the league, 5 points. And I believe they're the only side in the Football League without a win. I just say they're unhappy with the owners. Managing directors quit. It's off field as well as on the field where the problems are.
It's sad, isn't it? Well, it's always been off field for Coventry. It is straight up just sad to see a club that were as big as Coventry just being destroyed by the stuff that is happening off the field. I mean, I'm a Sunderland fan, so I do have a natural bit of sympathy for clubs who collapse, because we collapsed. We got very close to really getting into trouble. But we got lucky. Good owners came in and bought us. That's pure bloody luck. That's all that's happened to us. Coventry had the opposite. Bad owners came in and bought me. And then bad owners again. And then it just all got worse. And like I said, you can feel nothing but sorry for them and for their fans, because they do not deserve to be going through this. And if that club goes down to League Two, you can just see them dropping out of the pyramid altogether. It can only go bad from here, really.
I do agree with you. It's not what you want to see. It's a big club like Coventry, and already, I mean, they haven't finished in the top six for over 50 years, is it?
It's so stupid.
It's already looking like something like that. And again, and so it's just disappointing for them, and their fans don't deserve this. And already it's looking like a torrid season for them. And so, I do feel sorry for them. And I just hope they can find a way to get out of this at the moment in time, this mess.
If that club goes down to League Two, those fans who've been put through the absolute ringer by that club, are they going to keep turning? Are they going to be able to attract the kind of players that will get them out of that league? Because the kind of players who will get them out of the league are the fighters, the scrappers. Are they going to want to go to a club like Coventry, where they know everything about those on-field troubles? I just think if they can't pull themselves out of that spiral, and the only way they can do it is with those players on the pitch and that manager pulling them up, I could see them in the conference 2-3 years out.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's strange because I remember when we started the 72 show, it was like sometime mid last season, and it was at that point Coventry was sort of playoffs looking all right, and I just remember last season the way they just dropped and had an awful second half to last season. We'll move on to a team that's doing a bit better. We'll move on to from the side that hasn't won a game to the only unbeaten side in the Football League, which is Bradford. They got a decent draw with Bolton, drew 0-0 with Bolton. Bradford are currently fourth in the table, so it's looking pretty good for them.
Yeah, I think if any League One club goes to the Reebok and gets a point, and a clean sheet as well, I think they'll be pretty chuffed. And good point for Bradford. So they've started off, very well. Stuart McCall, obviously, back in charge there. And it's all... he's a very popular figure at Bradford, as we know, and I think they can keep this going, and I don't see any reason why they can't. They should be in for a good season, Bradford. And I think if any club gets a point at Bolton and say let on a clean sheet, that's brilliant. I think everyone's going to be chuffed.
Yeah, from what I heard, it was a pretty scrappy fighting game. Bradford like really earned the point from what I've read. Just want to look at the other side to it though. Bolton, they won the first four games and looked awesome to start with, but they've not won the five games since. They've got a bunch of draws and a loss.
I think for Bolton though, they needed to really just sort of stop the bleeding. After they went down last season, after how badly everything went, all they needed to do was make sure they didn't go down again. Because that would have been the death of that club. That would have been the point where you could have seen it again 2-3 years from now. A club actually dying, a Phoenix club coming up, they've got to start all over again. That really could have been the end of days for that club. So I think if they don't get promotion this year, it's not a disaster. If they do, it's great, because it can really put them back on the platform. But it was all about stopping the bleeding. And the start they've had, you have to think, even though it's only 9 games in, they're probably safe.
Mm.
Go down.
I couldn't agree more. I think, I said last season, I think the idea was just to regroup. Sort of bed your young players in, get some players in the league one well, and Slater says to maybe stop the bleeding as you've hit the nail on the head, really. And it's already looking like they're going to be fine this season in regards to not going down. It's just a case of now sort of building on. I think a lot of sides are going to, after winning their four games, it obviously set a benchmark, and a lot of teams were probably raising their game a bit more against them. I think they're looking in good way this season. And whether they get promoted or not, I don't think it won't be the end of the world if they do or not. Obviously, their fans would love to, but I think it was mainly a stop the bleeding job, and I've had a good consolidation in League One this season. But I hope they might even do better than that. But I think that was the main aim, was to not be in a relegation scrap or anything like that, and just have a nice sturdy season. And it's looking well like that.
Move on to Northampton Town. They we didn't do a 72 show last week, but they the previous week they lost their first game in 31, I believe it is. They lost to Chesterfield, but they recovered to win 4-0 over Southend this weekend, moving into the playoff places.
Yeah, well, it's been a good one. Obviously, I'll touch on a bit when I do the roundup, but they gave Man United a good but no, beating Southend at home at Kavinsky is very impressive. And it seemed, I said that if they can keep, like a bit like Burton with the rise of the leagues, if you keep your bunch of players together, just one of those, obviously Chris Wilder, and they've got Rob Page in as manager. But no, I mean if you can keep this run of foot, run and keep the happiness amongst the camp, then they should be in for a good season, and they certainly are. And it's a big win for them over Southend, and they're looking absolutely fine for the season. Whether they'll win the league as emphatic as they did last season is another question, but they certainly should potentially get a playoff spot this year. And and fair play to the group of lads, and you know, and I think the fans are probably loving it at the moment, and I think they'll have another successful season.
I'm sure Northampton are pretty happy to be above Sheffield United as well after Chris Wilder going. I think the best result though in the league, football, League One this week, Rochdale beating Millwall, that moved them out of the relegation zone. Fantastic result.
Yeah, it's a heck of a win. That is, I think they were losing twice. I think I could be wrong actually, but no. I think anyone going to the Den and eat. Yeah, no, they were losing twice.
Yeah, they were 3-2, weren't they?
Yeah. Oh, sorry,
they went up and
So they were losing at some point in the game. But no, it's a big win for them. And so I think anyone who gets a win at Mill will be very pleased, as we know. Any league nil is always a tough place to go. Full credit to Keith Hill. I saw he was named as manager of the week in the football league team of the week. So I think that's fairly deserved. As I say, it's a tough place to go. Millwall started the season off strong, and so to come back from 2-1 down is very impressive. And I think with the squad, I think Rochdale will be obviously very happy to survive in League One. They got one of the biggest budgets in the League One yet, certainly down the far end of that structure. But no, big win at Millwall, and full credit to Keith Hill.
Okay, we'll go on to League Two, because there's been the first managerial departure from the Football League this season, and that's the Leighton Orient boss, Andy Hessen-Taylor. Lost 3-1 to Notts County at the weekend. Leighton Orient 14th in the table, sort of in the middle, not really anything great, but I don't know how fair it was to sack him.
It's just appalling, it really is. Sort of meaningful ones to discuss this all day, and they're 4 points off the playoffs. I think that says it all, really. It's harsh. Unless you've got a mega, 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 mega budget and you're 14th in the league this stage season, you can maybe understand owner's frustration. But I mean, this owner sacked seven managers, I believe, in his short spell in Charlton. So it's another club like Leeds, really, where it's just got it's full running the club, and it's not fair on the supporters. And and then he's brilliant. He's done a good job at Gillingham before, it's just not great. And I feel sorry for the Orient supporters, really. They're going to have another clown making a joke out of the club, and I just feel sorry for whoever takes the charge of the job, because regardless of how well he's doing, he's probably going to be out of a job by Christmas.
You made a point there, and it's like the thing I always find about Leighton Orient is they're never actually doing that badly, are they? I mean, yeah, they occasionally have a bad year, but they're always sort of doing okay. But then it's just always disaster, disaster, disaster for the club. Someone else is being sacked. Something awful has come out from the border. You just sort of wonder how a club that seems to be doing as modestly okay as it is just always undergoing such massive disasters. It doesn't really make sense, because they're a decent club. They could do well if they just got something behind the scenes properly going. If they actually had, you know, what we were talking about before, stability in the back room. They just don't seem to have it. I don't understand why that club isn't doing much better than it is at the moment. Mm. I really don't, because it just has all of that potential about it. And it is just frustrating. Because again, as a Southampton fan, we've been there where it's just been crap, and it's just idiots in the boardroom who know nothing about football ruining your club for you. And you know this club could go well. You know it could all come good eventually. And you just need that one little thing of not having a psychopath running it.
Especially the West Ham with the first fan now on their doorstep, pretty much. You don't want to be in a place where you're losing fans as well. Mm. They need to be claiming as many fans as they can possibly get, and there's certainly no way to advertise the club as well, so before running it. And it's just not fair on the proper diehard Orient fans that they've got some more on doing this. And, to be fair, with Oxfam on the doorstep, West Orient could easily just potentially become a drop out of football league and become just a non-league team, just a standard non-league team if this goes sort of really bad. But at least if you want any positive, there are only 4 points off the playoffs. So if they do get a good name in, that it could still be a successful season for them. But just don't know with a moral around the club.
I think that the worrying thing for Orient at the moment is, you look at the sides below them, there are some decent sides. And if they hit a bit of form and they keep declining, they could really start to drop down that table. Things could go... he's been sacked at the moment, the manager. Things could get so much bloody worse. So it's... I can't make sense of that. I can't make sense of that decision at all.
No, I don't understand it either. But we'll move on. Yeovil beat Cheltenham 4-2. It was Gary Johnson making a return. Return to Yeovil.
Sorry, just a very well-respected man in there. Yeovil obviously did a fantastic job of getting them promoted to the Championship, and obviously he's had two very successful spells at Yeovil before. I think Yeovil has been a very Freedom Virgo sort of comments at the chairman. Despite hoping they won a championship, it's disappointing to see them sort of drop down a couple of leagues, and now in League 2, I know they're not too happy with their chairman for not. They're not sort of improving and sort of investing enough in the squad. But obviously, the money they've got from getting front of the Championship, how they sort of done back to that relegation sort of after that, I think, and how they're struggling in League 2. But full credit to Darren Way, he's obviously very passionate about that football club, very well and the fans, and it's a big win for them, because Cheltenham will be up there at the end of the season. I know they're struggling at the moment, but I think Cheltenham, with the squad that's got promoted from Gary Johnson in charge, with the momentum they got from the Football League, I think they'll be fine.
Okay. Good wins for Accrington. They beat Portsmouth and Colchester. They're now in the playoff race. I know we were criticising them earlier in the season for their poor start.
Yeah, I mean, with Accrington, last season was just a fantastic season. John Conway did a fantastic job getting into a playoff spot with the budget. We talk about budgets a lot, but theirs is notably very, very poor in that league. And obviously, it's no surprise given that the fan base and everything they've got up there. But no, full credit to them. They've turned it around after a poor start. We said about the distraction of of beating Burnley at home and then getting West Ham away. But no, they've a big win at Colchester on Saturday. Just look like we're going to kick on and have another good season.
Uh huh. Morecambe have been taken over by some new Brazilian owners. They're saying they're not going to make any promises or targets as such for the future, but they said that the fans can dream, and I guess they're hopeful of improving the club. Not really sure how it will work out for them. I guess it could go either way, really.
It'll be weird if they become this like super massive club, and you got in the Premier League a Premier League team's badge with just a massive shrimp on it. It will just look so out of place. I mean, we've been talking about owners. Nobody really knows too much about what they're sort of planning or what they're going to do, or what's not even going to be any good. But you do have to hope, because if you're a club like that, that's the only thing that's going to pull you out of it, isn't it, really? That could potentially propel you up there. So, I mean, fingers crossed that it all goes well for them. And I really do hope we see a shrimp-themed badge in the Premier League Sunday.
Just finally in League 2, I just want to mention the Exeter side. I know manager Tisdale praised them for the defence in particular. It's extremely young defence. You've got a three-man Luke Kroll, Jordan Moore-Taylor and Pierce Sweeney, 21, 22 years old. They've got a general really young side.
I would say you can't complain, you can't win anything with kids, but... for the maturity to do that, to keep a clean sheet at... Stevenage is very good. Stevenage, I know they've struggled over the last few years, but to keep a clean sheet in the Football League with that young defence, as you said, is very impressive. And full credit to Paul Tisdale. He's the longest serving manager in the Football League. Mm. I think with them in the hand, I think with him still in charge, they should be in for another a good league. And I think he's always kept playing football the correct way, and he knows what he's doing.
The other player who played earlier in the season, a 15-year-old, Ethan Ampadu, I know got a lot of praise. There was an article about him on the BBC Sport website as well, praising him.
Yeah, I think they sort of described it as a 15-year-old playing like a sort of a 35-year-old who doesn't give the ball away. So
yeah,
that is really, it's really impressive. And I thought credit for trying to bring through young talent. We always like to see it. I don't know. So fans like to see it. I know we'd say if you have any young team, you do need some experience first. But I mean, I'm sure they do have a few ones. It's always up to them. I think that's always a sign of if you're winning, you've got young players and you've got the experienced players. The experienced players are mainly doing their job correctly as well. Obviously, pointing the players in the right direction and everything. So I think it's a good club, Exeter, and I hope they do well this season.
All right, well, we'll move on to next League Cup review. We didn't do one on the main podcast last week, so this is the opportunity now. So over to you, Nick.
Yes, indeed. Some picked off with the televised game on Tuesday night. It was Leicester against Chelsea, and we saw Chelsea really with an impressive comeback there, two-nil down. And then to come back and win 4-2, so full credit to Antonio Conte there, and to the Chelsea lads. Let's go to my club, Brighton. Sadly, it was a 2-1 home defeat by Reading, but I know, again, it wasn't a very big crowd there at that night. I mean, big win for Reading, and their Yapstown continues to do a good job. An upset at Bournemouth, losing 3-2 to Preston. So full credit to Simon Grayson's men there. Another upset was at Goodison Park, Everton losing 2-0 to Norwich. That was a surprise. I mean, Everton obviously really need to sort of screen that to win a cup, and this could have been a good cup for them to win. But Alex Neil with a great 2-0 win there. Routine wins for Arsenal, Liverpool, Derby, and Forest, respectfully. And also wins in the Championship for Women's Championship clubs, Newcastle, Leeds. On Wednesday, as I say, we saw the televised game was Northampton against United. Northampton giving them a good game, but losing 3-1. Other upset was the Britannia, Hull City beating Stoke 2-1. Sort of continued Stoke's miserable start to the season. But full credit to Mike Phelan's men. It's a routine win for Tottenham. I would say a routine win for West Ham against Accrington, but Accrington really gave them a good game, and to take a wonder goal from Dimitri Payet to win that, and also wins for Premier League clubs Man City, Southampton, and Sunderland.
Just want to go.
Sorry, Matt.
Yeah, I just wanted to say about Payet that was a great 96-minute winner, wasn't it? So important for West Ham.
Yeah, shame for Accrington. I mean, I've said they played really well, really made it a tough night for West Ham. You know, so now West Ham are going through a really dodgy period at the moment, which I suspect will be discussed on the main show this week. But to be fair, you could even say to Everton, would they really want to have another half an hour extra time? But no, I'm sure that would be a good night, and at least they didn't embarrass themselves and play at a lovely stadium. The draw for the next round, which I actually don't have.
We've got a couple of all Football League ties. We've got Newcastle versus Preston and Leeds v Norwich, which is good for, means there's going to be at least two Football League teams guaranteed to go through.
Well, Newcastle is weird. I mean, their fans have been crying out for a good cup run since they got back from the Premier League, and now it's looking like they're going to get one, and they're in the Championship. So, but, I mean, it's been quite a nice draw for them. I think they've had some very straightforward games, if I'm not honestly, but I mean, that was very kind.
I think that's the best.
Respect to Preston. Just sure. Preston by beating Bournemouth.
Well, they're the lowest ranked
team. Yeah, we say when going into a know, when God closes a door, he opens a window. I think with Newcastle, it's like when Satan closes a door, he opens a window afterwards, sends him down, here's your cup run, boys.
But no, I mean, fair play to Soon. I mean, if they can win that, they're in the quarter, already a win away from the semi. So it's there's a land there, I think, but I think there's some good ties in the there. Also, you've got massive clashes between Man City and United. Man United, Man City, I should say. That speaks for itself. There's no need for me to hype that game up at all. You've also got Liverpool, Tottenham, big, say Klopp, so he takes this competition seriously. That'd be a good game. And West Ham, Chelsea. I mean, West Ham, that could be the night. I mean, I was speaking to a West Ham fan in the train during, and he reckons that could be the night that kicks this West Ham into play. I mean, at the stadium, I mean, no one's really enjoying the stadium at the moment, but they can get an atmosphere going like they used to do up to part of the night. That could really be their turning point up in that night against Chelsea.
Here's one for you then. If you were the TV executive, which games would you pick as the you got two TV games, which one would you pick? Which ones would you pick?
I'd probably do West Ham, Chelsea, and obviously the Manchester derby.
Yes.
I'd put Arsenal Reading in there just because they're always good games. They're always really good.
Arsenal just Reading. Yeah, I really would have enjoyed that. A nice trip up to the Emirates. But no, nothing goes my way, does it?
No. The other Football League club in action next round, which we've not mentioned, Bristol City, who are at home to Hull. So, yeah, good luck to them.
Yeah, nobody's got to describe the tyres. Meh. It's fellow mine. He said he didn't really care if he lost or not. Big win there, and now he's got a chance to say, oh, the hype. I mean, he's probably looking at that, thinking, hang on, I can get to the semi finals, quarter finals are at the cup here. They had a run of the cup, and it's no secret they're going to struggle in the league. But a cup run, that could be fantastic for the club.
Thanks for joining me tonight, really enjoyed the show. You can follow us on Twitter at V2Football and check out the website v2football.com. It's good night from me, and good night from my guests, Nick Davey and Shane Lees.
Night.
Good night.